When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Welcome to Suffolk Matters, where all of Suffolk County meets the men and women of Suffolk AME. News, opinions, and insights you won't hear anywhere else. Here's your host, the president of New York's largest independent union, Suffolk AME's Dan Levler.
Welcome to another edition of Suffolk Matters on Walk 97.5 and 94.3 The Shark, where Suffolk County meets the men and women of Suffolk AME. News and views you can't hear anywhere else.
My guest this morning is Augie Ruckdeschel, Clean Energy Coordinator for the Cornell Cooperative Extension. Welcome, Augie.
Thank you very much. It's great to be here.
Let's just talk right out of the gate about the Cornell Cooperative Extension. That means probably nothing to some people and something to some people. And so it's a good starting point.
Absolutely. Right? Thanks for letting us start there. Yeah. So Cornell Cooperative Extension of Suffolk County, for the people who are most familiar with it, probably are most familiar with our agricultural services. Mm-hmm. So we are a branch of Cornell University. There are extension offices across the entire state, virtually one in every single county, including Suffolk and Nassau counties. Suffolk County is the largest in the entire state. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, the services we're providing are educational and field research and applied research. So we work with farmers who want to understand how to deal with, you know, the invasive spotted lanternfly.
Oh, yeah.
Or the southern pine beetle. You know, we're working with farmers who want to find ways to mitigate the impact of their fertilizer and nitrogen impacts on our groundwater. So we advise on best management practices. We travel with different varieties in kind of the agricultural space and then work with them directly to ensure the kind of long-term profitability of their business and the sustainability of their business.
Sure.
Then we have a marine division. Currently, Clean Energy, where I'm at, is actually enveloped in marine for now because they didn't know where else to put me for now. It's brand new, and we can talk about that later.
Yeah.
But our marine division is working in shellfish aquaculture. They're working in coastal resiliency. Mm-hmm. So they're looking at groundwater protection. So again, this all kind of comprehensive educational service that we do in concerts with Suffolk County government, in concert with New York State government and even federal government. So we source grants and funding from all a variety of different sources to enhance and elevate existing government services, to work side by side with Suffolk County employees, with state employees.
Hence cooperative.
Yes, exactly. It's right in the name there.
Makes a ton of sense.
We're also, if I may, there's a couple others. And then we have family health and wellness and community education. This is primarily nutritional based. It's diabetes prevention or treatment. Mm-hmm. So it's advising, parenting skills and things of that nature. So we want to be all things to all people and make sure that we're serving all these Suffolk County residents, whether they're out in Montauk or they're over here on our border here in Farmingdale as well. And, of course, our services even cross into Nassau County and vice versa.
Right, right. And listen, I mean, some of the things that you're talking about, you know, you talk about services for parents and giving them that education. Not everybody gets that.
No.
Right? And you can be surprised. I've been to a couple of legislative meetings where some issues come up and you hear about the things that folks are struggling with. And if you think about it, if no one ever told you, if you didn't know better, you know, and so these are important things.
Yep.
Yeah.
And we work a lot even with grandparents, because sometimes we have single parents who are at work, the child care services are being outsourced to the grandparents. Yeah. And they're raising children in a different climate, in a different world now. So even we're doing that whole kind of vertical servicing for parents, their grandparents, and the children themselves.
That's awesome. And listen, let's talk a little bit about your history before we get into the clean energy side of things with Cornell. you've been around for a while. And
I have.
You've worn some hats. So yes. why don't we talk about that?
Yeah, I love to have the opportunity to brag about being a former Suffolk County, Associated Municipal Employees union member.
Yeah.
I miss it. I miss being a union member. We're not in the union over at Cornell, but I'm very proud of that background and that, and the experiences I had working with the union. And really proud, under your leadership for a lot of my career. Going back, I started with the county in 2011, actually the Suffolk County Police Department, but as a civil servant. I was a public information officer. And then I moved over from there to what would become a more long-standing position, which is I was the farmlands and open space coordinator for Suffolk County.
Right.
I initially started as the agriculture marine economic development specialist.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I could speak so cogently about the work that the county has has done with our farmers and our farmland preservation program, open space preservation program, supporting shellfish aquaculture. Uh-huh. So that was my career for 10 years.
Right.
And I really enjoyed working with the county. I did not leave for any sort of professional reasons whatsoever.
Right,
I left
on
really great terms, and it was really nice, actually, kind of on the way out. It's almost like a pre-retirement party that I got to have with people saying nice things in both directions, which was kind of nice.
Yeah.
But Cornell Cooperative Extension was a bit of a natural kind of segue for me because I worked with them so intensely and closely, even when I was with the county.
Yeah, yeah. And so now, getting into the clean energy, I mean, that's something I think you have a passion for and a knowledge of. But let's talk a little bit about what that is.
Sure. Right? So, as I mentioned, clean energy is a new space for Cornell Cooperative Extension here in Suffolk County. Some of the other extension offices across the state have a tiny bit more experience in that space, but for us, it's brand new. So, a few years ago, Cornell Cooperative Extension of Nassau County put in an application with New York State to receive the designation to serve as the Long Island Clean Energy Hub. And as part of that application, it was putting together a team of different organizations, not-for-profit organizations, academic institutes that would serve in this clean energy, serve as a clean energy partner to residents, to households, to small businesses, not-for-profits, what have you. So when I was brought in, there was, the expectation that, given my government experience, I'd be able to run with it and run in this new space and be a kind of liaison, a trusted liaison, as a free educational resource for people interested in clean energy, but might be intimidated by upfront costs. They might be intimidated by understanding the technology. They might be intimidated by finding qualified contractors and not being taken advantage of.
Right.
So we were brought on as part of the Long Island Clean Energy Hub to serve those educational needs.
Sure. Just to that end, I'm sure you've got a website and want to hear about it, but I think everybody online has been served an ad at some point in time saying, hey, if you want to get clean energy in New York, and then it reeks of scammy stuff. And so this is why I want to get your website out there so that folks have a resource to figure out what the real deal is. And we'll get to that a little later.
www.lismartenergychoices.org.
Let's talk a little bit about, New York State's plan for transitioning to clean energy, right? So I, on my side, I do a lot of union work, as you know, but I get involved in other things. But on the union side of things, this clean energy initiative, when we talk about things like, wind farm, I'm dealing with folks like Matt Arisich from the building trades, Ryan Stanton from Long Island Fed, and we're talking about how important it is to take folks that are working a particular industry now, and as things phase into this, how do we train people up to move them over? The term I have been taught and I use in this context is stranded assets, and it's not just the facilities but the people that ran those facilities that may change because of clean energy. Certain processes are different or whatever. But, obviously the state of New York has some plan on transitioning as well. So while I'm focusing on the labor side, there's all sorts of moving parts. So maybe we could talk a little bit about what on the state's plan.
Sure. So the Climate Leadership and Community Protection Act, sometimes called the Climate Act, is really the kind of goalposts for what this New York State has set aside as our hopefully achievable goals. And they're ambitious goals. I mean, it's got to be the first or second most ambitious Climate Act legislation in the entire country and by extension kind of the world. So we really want to see ourselves as a countrywide and global leader in meeting those aims. So we set very high standards. So that is by 2030 to have 70% of New York's electricity come from renewable sources, and that no less than 85% Of our electricity will come from renewable sources by 2050. We need to, in order to achieve those goals, the Climate Act requires 9,000 megawatts of energy that we use to come from those offshore sources by 2035.
Sure.
So we are staring at those deadlines already, right? I mean, 10 years is nothing. So labor is an essential partner in reaching those goals. Mm-hmm. We don't reach them without labor participation and cooperation. And I know both in the legislation and from, you know, the higher up administrations, of which I do not speak for, just for the record.
Yeah,
I understand and we acknowledge, as far as a workforce development component of the work we do, that labor component and making sure that apprenticeships and things like that are part of the pipeline of services we're offering to our residents when we're talking about opportunities in offshore winds.
Sure. I had an opportunity to go out and visit the offshore, the existing systems offshore, and I got to tell you, what an operation, right?
They are massive.
Yeah.
They are massive. Mm-hmm. You know, they're like three quarters the size of the Empire State Building, having seen recently a scale to the depiction. And I don't think people can truly like picture or fathom that. You know, we could show them an illustration, but ultimately it's when you see them in person that you truly acknowledge the size and the scale.
It is awe-inspiring, but they produce quite a bit of energy.
They do.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, I think, you know, I probably need to fact check myself on this, but, you know, the initial rounds is going to essentially be enough energy for a million homes, you know.
Yeah, that's roundabouts what we were talking about when we were doing the tour. So, yeah.
That's incredible.
It really is.
Yeah.
And, you know, so there's a lot for folks to learn, but it's being done, right? Like, this is not, you know, we're talking about a concept that one day could maybe be. Here on Long Island in the state of New York, we're doing it.
And it's bringing the energy source home, right? So we don't drill for oil or gas here on Long Island. We're not producing any of that.
Right.
So this is all job creation. This is all new economic development because we're producing, you know, our own renewable energy. And there's a freedom, I think, that's an important component of this. There's an independence, you know, from relying on fossil fuels, whether it be from other countries or even other parts of the nation.
Right.
You know, to bring that that literally that energy, and I also mean spiritually, that energy back home is a really exciting element of the projects.
Yeah. And listen, wind is something that's going to happen. The tides are something that's going to happen. These things, this is energy that's already there, and it's just moving all the time. It's a good thing for folks.
Yep.
So let's talk a little bit about community impact then. You know, so this Clean Energy Hub, it focuses on assisting disadvantaged communities. So, you know, for yourself and the team, you know, how do you identify and prioritize these communities, and what resources will become available?
So, one of our contract is that 40% of our effort needs to be in these quote unquote disadvantaged communities. Think of them as traditionally underserved communities, low income communities. I would say our effort is probably more than 40%, candidly. And it's, you know, for better or worse, they are mapped by NYSERDA. NYSERDA has produced a disadvantaged communities map.
Yep.
It's an algorithm including a variety of factors. It actually gets tweaked from year to year. They have a working group that looks at, are we identifying the appropriate census tracts and so on.
Sure.
So there's a mathematical element to it as well, but we also know there's a cultural and historical knowledge behind where do we need to really serve these communities, you know, and it is in, you know, our, you know, our Wyandanches and our Central Islips and our Brentwoods and our Huntington Stations and Port Jefferson Stations and Bellport. So at least on the Suffolk County side, which I know better.
Though,
of course, the hub serves, you know, these low-income households across all of Nassau and Suffolk counties and even parts of the Rockaways, actually, because it's part of PSE&G's utility service territory.
Right.
So,
so this is big stuff.
It is.
Yeah.
And we have a lot of work to do. As a new organization or a new agency, we have not yet built the trust or credibility that we need long term to work with those communities, right? And even myself, I don't mind saying, I was an ag and fish person. I grew up as a farmer on Long Island.
Yeah.
Who did I work with? I worked with East End farmers and you know, some Western farmers, but I wasn't seen yet in these communities because there weren't a lot of farms left in the town of Babylon. There's not a lot of towns left in the town of Smithtown and
so on.
But, you know, fortunately, because we have such a broad team, we have the ability to be seen in these spaces and to be seen as part of the partners in these elements. But we know, like, our greatest value is going to come from partnering with existing community benefit organizations already operating those spaces to be their teammate in it.
Sure, and that's the quickest way to learn about those communities. So when you say you want to be seen, you want to hear also, yes. right? Not just be heard, but hear. And so getting in with these groups and having the ability to, you know, catch yourself up in a rapid fashion, it's the best way to kind of get these things moving.
I go and I sit in the back and I listen.
Yeah.
And then hopefully maybe a year from now, they'll invite me. Who's that guy that's been in the back of our meetings? Hey, what are you here from? Oh, Long Island Clean Energy Hub. Do you want to hear about right. what we could bring?
Yeah.
So,
well, here's a thing that you bring, right? You know, you get free home energy assessments, something you guys provide. And, you know, people may not know that.
Yeah.
To be honest, I didn't know about that. So let's
look,
talk, you know.
There are so many things about this job I had no idea existed before I took the job.
Yeah.
And every PSE&G and or National Grid customer, again, in Nassau, Suffolk County and the Rockaways are eligible for these free home energy assessments.
Mm-hmm.
They're not performed by us. They're performed by qualified contractors who we know on a first name basis. So they come in, they'll make these assessments. They'll identify places where your household, your building is leaking energy.
Mm-hmm.
So you're losing hot air during the winter, cold air during the summer. They're going to use thermal imaging. They're going to use a blower test. They're mm-hmm. going to use, you know, state-of-the-line technology to identify the parts of your house where you need more insulation. Where you need duct sealing or you need, you know, window
more
sealing,
weather stripping. Yeah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So they're going to come and develop a plan for you.
Mm-hmm.
And the plan is going to cost X amount of dollars. Everyone is eligible for at least $1,000 rebate from PSE&G mm-hmm. to undertake the work.
Mm-hmm.
But for low-income households at 60 to 80% of the area median income, the benefits get a lot more generous. And from PSE&G alone, you could get $6,250. And they make the payments directly to the contractors.
Mm-hmm.
So there's potential for no out-of-pocket expenses to do these home weatherization improvements. And now here's where things get very complicated, but extremely generous, and this is why mm-hmm. we exist.
Yeah.
That homeowner in Suffolk County or Nassau County has PSE&G funding, let's say $6,250 there.
Yeah.
They may be eligible for another $10,000 in what's known as Empower Plus funding from New York State,
right.
which is currently available for here.
Mm-hmm.
They could stack that. They could also, if they wanted to convert from, say, oil burners to electrical heat pumps,
mm-hmm.
Air source heat pumps,
right.
there's potentially another, you know, up to $14,000 in Inflation Reduction Act funding. These are all stackable. There's PSE&G has their own, what's known as a home comfort program,
mm-hmm.
additional funding up to $6,000. Actually, it's more than that, $9,000, I want to say, for air source heat pumps. You could stack, in theory, and we've pushed a project, this is not all hypothetical,
right.
up to $40,000 worth of incentives for a kind of whole house retrofit.
And an incentive to save you on energy forever.
Yes.
So you're going to get $40,000 potentially, if you're in a position to receive that.
Yep.
And folks maybe don't know that, but it is all with the end goal of keeping your bills down.
Yes.
So there is the added bonus throughout your lifetime. Right?
The reality of our position is I spend a tiny 2% of my time talking about environmental or global climate change, and I spend 98% of my time talking about energy savings and ways to reduce home energy bills.
And listen, I mean, the economics of Long Island, we know it. We know it, right? Good people do really hard work, and they put their energy into the world, and it doesn't matter what job they have. Somebody needs to do it. I've heard the arguments before of like, oh, I don't want to see a fast food worker make X. Well, who's going to make your food?
Yeah.
Right? You're saying you want to get the food, but the people who make it should starve, right? So That's my take on it. So folks that are having a harder time for whatever reason, there's so many reasons why people end up being economically disadvantaged, whether it's education, opportunities, you know, a bad string of occurrences in life,
and
maybe
luck.
Not yours, maybe, you know, a grandparent's that
yep.
finally landed you where, you know.
Path dependency.
And, right.
Yep.
Something like this could be life-changing for somebody.
Taking down their
monthly bills, making things better for them and not having to lay out all that money that they don't have to.
And most importantly, we're the client's ally in this process.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everyone on the hub is not-for-profit educational. We don't earn sales commission. We don't push a particular technology or company. So when you're engaging with that contractor, we are on your side to looking out for your best interests. And but just not to say we don't work with excellent contractors. We exclusively work with excellent contractors.
Right.
But we know there's miscommunications and things like that can get lost in translation. And we're there again in the middle to make it as fluent and hopefully easy and practical to implement as possible.
Sure. And listen, it encompasses other things. You know, you talk about the pressure test and whatever else, you know, possible insulation changes and whatever. But these heat pumps and the solar panels, that's another source.
Yes.
And let's talk a little bit about heat pumps, because that's not something everybody knows about. And there's, I guess there's the version that draws out of the ground.
Yes.
You know, ground.
Geothermal.
Yeah, ground. Yep. Ground temperature remains, once you get past the initial crust, it remains at about 60 degrees year long. And so you don't have to heat it that much, as opposed to the, you know, 0 degree air that's outside. And you don't have to cool it that much, you know, obviously, or rather it's self-cooling in the summertime. So, but let's talk about the difference between, you know, the in-the-ground system and the air systems. And
sure. So air source heat pumps are a major emphasis for what NYSERDA and the state is pushing right now, particularly in the electrification of our households, to remove our dependence on kind of fossil fuels, the liver fuels and things like that. And ultimately, it is, like you said, with air source, it's drawing the existing thermal energy in the air and concentrating it and then converting it to heating or cooling in the same way that the coils on your refrigerator, on the back of your refrigerator, it's actually the same technology.
Right.
It's a little bit more enhanced and advanced from that. But that's ultimately, it's not necessarily new technology, it's repurposed technology.
Sure.
So that's what we're doing, that air source heat pump. They can be much more, in my opinion, affordable than geothermal.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting. We have statistics on air source versus geothermal installations on Long Island. If you go to like the Gold Coast or you go to the South Shore, East Hampton, Southampton, they're all geothermal out there. You know, you could bury it's a more, much more, I think, long term renewable energy source because it's drawing that energy from the geothermal structure. And then in the rest of parts, of Suffolk and Nassau County. The technology is mostly air source heat pumps. And you could do ducted units or ductless units. The ductless are when you see the kind of similar to a like window unit AC style where you'll have multiple units in different zones of the house. That would be a ductless. If you have existing kind of central air and things like that, you might use a ducted system, in which case you usually just have the one major unit that's located outside of the home.
Right.
Kind of like that main central central air component.
Yeah, and I guess from an engineering perspective, when you have larger parcels of land, the ability to get machines in and do the work and
100%.
Whatever, and when you start getting into some of the post, you know, the postage stamp size properties,
you don't have those options.
You'd need a crane to drop the machine in the backyard to dig
absolutely.
The hole.
Absolutely.
You know,
land access is also going to dictate the appropriate technology.
Right. The cost-benefit ratio goes right out the window.
Yes.
This is all really great stuff, and if you're just tuning in, we're talking to Augie Ruckdeschel. He's the Clean Energy Coordinator for Cornell Cooperative Extension. And we just talked a little bit about all of the different programs that are out, amongst other things that we talked about, all the different programs that are out there to help folks reduce their energy bill, money that, that can be given to you to have someone come in and do things on your house, various different things on your house, to then save you on your energy bills moving forward. So it's all great stuff. We're going to get you the website in a little bit, so if you're interested, you can check in on that. So let's talk about electric vehicles.
Okay.
I mean, that's another one. It's that's the clean energy kind of discussion on the transportation side, right?
So. Sure. So, yeah, so there's also another major push for electrical vehicles. There are rebates. They're now point-of-sale rebates, which is nice, so you don't have to worry about kind of filling out the paperwork and laying out the money and then getting reimbursed. It's generally between $2,500 to $7,500 on the purchase of a new electrical vehicle. I think on used electrical vehicles, it's up to $4,000. And there are tax credits associated with those purchases as well. So you can drive down the cost of that vehicle purchase and essentially, you know, acquire transportation that's going to be much more environmentally sustainable and eco-friendly.
Sure.
So, you know, pollution from cars burning fossil fuels really has a fairly negative impact on our air quality here. Long Island's even worse. We have all the bad air quality from New York City come out east over us. We have, in some places, worse air quality in Suffolk County than New York City, which blows people's minds. But it just has to do with kind of air currents and wind systems and things like that. But it sits
Coriolis effect.
It sits over certain pockets of Suffolk County. So EVs eliminate the kind of that sort of air-based pollution. And, you know, what's nice about Long Island is that we're not that big. We are a Long Island. I think we're the longest island. But there's, you know, as far as people who have concerns about, like, finding EV charging stations, you know, on long distance trip, there's no trip on Long Island you couldn't take on a fully charged EV vehicle.
Sure.
You're going to make it. You can make it there and back, and you're going to be just fine.
Right.
And relative to even the rest of the country, but even the rest of the state, Long Island has more EV charging stations than anywhere else you're going to find. I mean, they're in our shopping center parking lots. You could do it at home overnight, which is actually what I think 80% of people do.
A lot of people do
that, they install a level 2 charger. Mm-hmm. Right now, PSNG has a $200 rebate for the installation of that. Mm-hmm. And that's going to charge your vehicle between 2 and 8 hours for a full charge. And then some of the shopping centers or public utilities may have a DC FC charger. And that's going to fully charge your vehicle in between 20 to 40 minutes. They're not as frequent, but they are available. And nowadays, there's apps that kind of guide you and steer you to where those locations are.
Nice. And so when you look at, well, so I do a fair bit of traveling on the island. There are a lot of vehicles on the road, mm-hmm. right? And when you do the math, you know, even just ballpark math on the petroleum cost there, and then, you know, all of that economic stimulus. Mm-hmm. But on the electric side, it's less expensive to charge your vehicle than it is to fill it with fossil fuels.
Yep.
And so the question then becomes, you know, are the resources there? If we start moving away from, are the resources there? And I think that really does tie into the East End Wind project.
Yes,
right?
That they go hand in hand. I mean, having a concern about where's all this additional electricity coming from is legitimate and valid, right? Mm-hmm. Same thing with air source and ground source heat pumps. They use electricity. They don't use fossil fuels. So we do know there's going to be an increase Long Island wide on electricity use and electricity demand.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So the offshore wind projects and to a different extent, you know, rooftop solar projects are intended to offset those demand increases.
Right. Makes a lot of sense.
Yep.
And again, with the added benefit, not just of saving money, but bringing pollution down,
yep.
You know, the air quality, like you say, Suffolk County, Long Island, in general, you know, it could be better. And this is a way to fix it.
Yeah.
Right?
And the asset we have is that we're surrounded by water, right?
Yeah.
You know, offshore wind is not an option for mainland New York, for upstate New York.
Right.
I think they are proposing one in one of the Great Lakes, maybe Erie, but nothing concrete. But they don't. And again, the wind that's going to be generated from a land-based lake is not going to be as generous as literally offshore wind is. And an advantage New York even has over a place like California is we have relatively shallow waters.
Mm-hmm.
So we can install those turbines at a lower cost point. Than you could relative to California. It's certainly still not cheap, as we see, but it is cheaper than a lot of other places because of our coastal shelf.
And that's what I was going to say. The shelf is closer on the Pacific, too. So, I mean, listen, it's about seeing what resources are available here on Long Island, taking advantage of them, and other places are going to look for other solutions. I mean, I don't know if the Great Lakes can install mountains on either side of the lake to help kind of create a wind tunnel. I don't think that's going to happen, but... So now into, you know, I guess a section of this conversation that's really interesting to me is the clean energy careers, right? So there's going to be all sorts of new opportunities.
Yes.
We talked about a few already based on the fact there's going to be increased work being done, not just with the installation of, you know, some new clean energy systems, but also in these programs that help reduce people's energy costs in their house.
Yep.
So, you know, there's that aspect, but let's talk about these clean energy careers.
Yeah. So, and that's another component of the hub, is again, workforce development, steering people towards appropriate, career paths. And what's nice about renewable energy is that there are, blue collar tracks and there are white collar tracks. So there's no one size fit all. There are some jobs that may require a college degree or maybe even an advanced, college degree, if you're talking electrical engineering, things like that. And then there are welding positions, and then there are blue collar tracks, and then there's home weatherization projects. So when we have someone come to us, we want to steer them first, figure out what's their lane.
Right.
Where do they want to go?
Right.
And then once we establish those lanes, steer them to appropriate resources. So not far from here in Deer Park, United Way of Long Island is one of our partners on the Clean Energy Hub. They have a power-up program. It's an 8-week class. 50 hours of in-classroom training. They're going to show them about building science principles, home weatherization. They kind of call it a clean energy, renewable energy 101. Inside their facility, they have kind of a demonstration net zero building. They could do example blower tests and so on. These classes are free. So they enroll about 25 people per class. The most recent one just started September 4th, but they continually offer them throughout the year. And again, for like the underemployed, unemployed, it's free for pretty much anyone interested.
Right.
You have to figure out your transportation there, which we know can be a challenge for folks from time to time, but that's an option. Suffolk Community College has solar installation certification programs and classes like that.
Yep.
And also classes in like welding and things of that nature. What's a double bonus again is that if you're unemployed or underemployed, Suffolk County Department of Labor Services will cover the cost of that class.
They sure will.
So are people aware of these? We want to make sure that they
right.
are, you know?
Yeah.
And then, you know, Stony Brook University is doing a lot in more of the advanced spaces, the offshore wind spaces. I myself took a 8-week training, intensive eight-week lunch training program
mm-hmm.
that really opened my eyes. Like, the reason I could hold my own a little bit on this offshore wind conversation
right.
is thanks to classes that Stony Brook University offered,
sure.
again, for free,
right.
you know, for people in my spaces and tracks, so we could speak credibly about the technologies and how they operate and so
mm-hmm.
on. So we want people to come to us looking for those opportunities and where they're going to be located. Farmingdale State College, right down the road from us, also offers,
sure.
you know, sustainability and renewable energy classes and certifications as well.
Yeah. So. No, I mean, there's big opportunities out there. And I think a lot of people are going to, you know, they're going to make that decision. They're going to make that switch.
Yeah.
You know, maybe they're working somewhere, like you say, underemployed or unemployed.
Yep.
It's the kind of stuff, it's expansive enough that there's something for everybody there.
Yeah.
Right. You say, you know, the highly trained, licensed professional, all the way down to like, hey, listen, can you just pick this stuff up and walk it over
yeah.
there? And there's money in this, right? And at the same time, helping people reduce their bills, helping the environment. I mean, there is all of that altruism that goes into these types of careers too, so you can feel good about yourself at the end of the day as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's a big part of it, right? We have to derive social value, not just a paycheck. We have
right.
to derive value, personal, professional value from the work that we're doing. Which, again, is why I was so proud to work for the county and be a member of the union
right,
previously,
because yeah. mm-hmm.
I was getting that benefit that hopefully a lot of us are seeking.
Yeah, yeah. We covered so much. There's no way I can do a quick recap on it. There's probably more to learn as well. You guys have got a website that folks can go on. We want to share that with you now because it's a way not just to recap and drill down on some of the things that we talked about today, but to find out about things we didn't speak or things that you maybe missed while you were, you know, coming in and out of your car or however you listened to the show.
So the website is www.lismartenergychoices.org.
That's excellent.
So I do want to mention our partners on the hub. So as I said, Cornell Cooperative Extension of Nassau County is the lead agency, working with us, Cornell Cooperative Extension of Suffolk County, United Way of Long Island, Renewable Energy of Long Island, Molloy University, Hofstra University, and yeah, it's an important team because we're all bringing different skill sets to it, and we all have deep connections to the community that we want to be able to exercise and leverage, and we're always looking for new team members and partners, so please, you know, reach out to us and let us know how we can help.
Yeah, hit the website, figure out more. This is, you know, there's something in this program for everyone, whether it's, you know, looking for employment opportunities, branching out, doing different things, or you just want to take advantage of some of these programs personally for your house, for your family. But my guest this morning, Augie Ruckdeschel, I want to thank you for coming down from Cornell Cooperative Extension and talking to us about these great programs. I think people will be pleasantly surprised to see for themselves.
Great. Thanks again for the opportunity to talk about the Hub. I really appreciate it. I love being here.
Yeah, and former AME member. And to our listeners, we'll speak to you next week.